Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, if you haven't figured it out, this is the first Sunday of Advent.
I've already figured it out.
I did. The next few weeks are traditionally the most festive time of the year. The decorations are bright and beautiful. The music is sentimental sometimes, but it's always joyous. And the standard greeting you will hear is Merry Christmas. And so the message is unmistakable. This is the season of good cheer. It is the time to be joyous. This is not the time or place for tears, or furrowed brows, or low moods. So, the person who happens to be sad, or suffering, or struggling, could easily feel lonely and out of place at this time of year. Now, we accept the tradition that this is a time of festivity. But what about the time of adversity? Does Advent have anything to do with that? What about the people that are going through that kind of experience right now? Does Advent have anything to say to them? Well, I think our gospel reading for today, in a way, really deals with those questions. In it, Jesus describes a time of great distress. He says, on earth there will be distress among the nations. People will faint from fear of what is coming upon the world. And then to this disturbing scene, he adds this sentence. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, the common interpretation of this scripture is that Jesus was talking about his so-called second coming. He was predicting or promising that someday he would visibly and bodily return to the earth. And this interpretation has given rise to endless speculation. As you probably noticed, every few years, some preacher or writer comes along and forecasts the exact day and hour that Christ will come again. And always the day passes, and life goes on as usual. Now, others might be a bit more cautious. They'll simply say, well, Christ is coming soon. But the word soon is a relative word. It could mean a few days, or it can mean a few years, could mean a few decades. To a geologist or an astronomer, it could mean thousands or millions of years. So the statement Christ is coming soon doesn't mean much of anything specific. But my question this morning is this: what difference does it make? What has all of this got to do with your life and mine in the year of our Lord, 2017? You know, I seriously doubt, and I certainly hope, no one regards the visible return of Christ as the solution to all of your problems. You can't stop dealing with life and wait for the Lord to come down and take care of it all. Now, I would not be so dogmatic as to totally disallow that possibility. It may be that someday we'll look up and see Christ in the clouds slowly descending to earth. And if it should happen that way, that's fine. I don't have any problems with that. But in the meantime, we must deal with life as it is today. There's a name for that. We must think of Advent, the coming of the Lord, in terms of the here and now. Now, let's suppose that when Jesus said people will see the Son of Man coming in power and great glory, he had in mind not so much an historical event, but a spiritual experience. And when he said nations will be confused and people will faint from fear, he was talking about the outward turmoil and the inward anxieties of everyday life, because human beings have always been dealing with that. And if this is what Jesus had in mind, then his words have real meaning for you and me. They tell us that we are not excluded from the Advent celebration, even though our mood may be more fearful than festive. We are not out of place in the Christmas season, even though our hearts may be broken and our faces are wet with tears. In times of adversity, we can expect the coming of Christ. Is it not reasonable to assume that the one who loves us best will not withhold his presence when we need him the most? Yet when trouble comes, our first tendency is to think that God has left us, or that he is displeased with us. You know, it's hard enough to believe in divine presence and providence when times are good and the living is easy. But in times of adversity, it becomes almost impossible. But you know, that mood, however understandable, overlooks the entire history of our faith. Do you remember the old childhood stories about Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox? Well, one day the fox caught Brer Rabbit, and he wanted to do the worst thing possible to him. He said, "Oh, I'm going to skin you alive." "Oh, yes, skin me alive. Please, just don't throw me in the briar patch." So the fox, vindictive, threw him in the briar patch. And the rabbit scampered away, and he said, "I was born and reared in a briar patch." And in a profound sense, that's true of our faith. It was born and reared in a briar patch. The Jewish nation that produced the great prophets and wrote the Old Testament scriptures was born in the adversity of Egyptian slavery. The Christian faith that has given the world its greatest ethic and highest hopes was born in the tragedy of a crucifixion. And the early church, which preserved and propagated that faith, was born in the adversity of opposition and terrible persecution. You know, it's a strange thing that history has proven it over and over again. People seem to know God better when times are at their worst. Now, why is life like that? Well, you know, I suspect the answer is found in the letter that Jeremiah wrote to the Jews in exile in Babylon. And the prophet quoted God saying this: "When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." In other words, God becomes real to us when we become serious about him. And that usually happens when we're confronted with our need for divine help. "God, I can't do this alone. I need you." That's where you find God. And this principle of life holds true not only in religion, but in other areas of life as well. The discoveries of scientific medicine are almost always in response to some desperate need in human experience. There have been outbreaks of smallpox or polio, and out of that tragedy came vaccines. "When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." Social progress comes when the failure of some previously accepted system confronts us with the necessity for change. Racial discrimination has been challenged, and it is changing. Laws have passed. Progress has been made. Now, we still have a long way to go, but we have started a journey towards equality that will never be turned back. "When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." You know, nations will be confused. I think they're confused now. I think they've always been confused. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. We don't understand the heavens the same way that they did in the time of Jesus. So in a sense, the heavens have been shaken. But you know, when that happens, that will be a time when people will see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. So you see, Advent and adversity are not antagonists. They're actually kind of twins that belong together. So are you fighting a hard battle right now? Advent is for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.